Welcome back to Await. As we learn about the Mashiach we're supposed to believe in and anticipate his coming. So we've been examining the words of the Rambam, Maimonides. That's because the Rambam is the only one who speaks about the mandatory faith and belief of Mashiach in legal terminology, in halachic prose. We've examined the Rambam's, if you will, proofs from the actual Torah. He said, the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Pentateuch, five books of Moses, testifies to Mashiach's coming, and he quotes verses from the 30th chapter of Sefer Dvarim. Verses 3 through 5 are explicit. The Rambam then also references verses found in the Nevuah, the prophecy of Bilam. That's Sefer Bamidbar, or the book of Numbers in the 24th chapter. He quotes the 17th and the 18th verses. And he shares with us commentary, the Midrashic interpretation. Lastly, the Rambam talks to us about the verses of the Torah that are found in the 19th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, Sefer Dvarim. There, the Rambam talks to us about cities of refuge. That's the place where a person who might have killed inadvertently would seek asylum. We learned that there were six cities, three in Transjordan and three in Israel proper, when Mashiach comes and the land called Israel will expand, an additional three cities will have to be set aside. So there'll be a total of nine cities of refuge. And in the Rambam's words, this is a command that was never fulfilled. Surely God did not give us this mitzvah in vain. The question we asked is highlighting the explicit verses from Parshas Nitzavim, along with the verses that are found in Parshas Balak, we were able to identify virtues, special superiority found in each one. One is explicit, and one fingers the person of Mashiach. But why did the Rambam now return to the book of Numbers, to Deuteronomy, and talk to us about the cities of refuge? Now, some might say, well, the Rambam wants to show you all of the places in the five books of Moses where Mashiach is talked about. This is a big mistake. The Rebbe says it can't be the case. And he proves it in two ways. Nachmanides, Rabbeinu Moshe ben Nachman, wrote many, many fascinating works, amongst them a book he called the Sefer HaGeula, the Book of Redemption. Let me share with you a quote from the opening of his book. V'yadua lakol, it is known to everybody who is a Yodea Sefer, somewhat educated or learned, ki Torateinu eineno divrei atidot v'chidot. The Torah is not a book of prophecies for the future, much like the books of the prophets that follow later on. V'chi Moshe Rabbeinu alav ha-shalom, Moses alone is Navi ha-mitzvot. He is the prophet who brings us the commandments that God gave us. There are 613 in total, and all of them were explicitly spoken to us by Moshe Rabbeinu. He delivered each mitzvah. In fact, we have learned, Ein Navi Rashoi Lechadesh Bohem Dover Me'ata. No prophet can ever rise and do away with the mitzvot of Moshe. The moment a person says, you don't have to keep one of the 613 mitzvahs, 248 positive and 365 negative, we know immediately this person is a false prophet. It is untenable and impossible from a perspective of the Jewish faith that the mitzvot get old or outdated. Never will they be discarded. They are God's covenant with us for all eternity. Why then did the other prophets come? What was their message? Well, as the last prophet, Malachi, said, Zichru Torat Moshe Avdi. The mission and mandate of the later prophets was simply to accentuate and highlight some of the details we might not have best understood. They spoke to us about the future. No new mitzvot. 613 is the magic number. It doesn't exceed or diminish that. And because this is true, Ramban says, Ein rov devarov lahodia lano habot. If you look in the Torah of Moshe, we don't have much about the future. Which is why, like the Rambam says, in the books of prophets, when we hear about Mashiach, kol hasforim meleim b'davar zeh, the books are filled with talk about that glorious future. But in the five books of Moses and the Pentateuch itself, we don't have emphasis on that. Which, of course, then begs the question, is it possible that the Rambam talked about the cities of refuge because this is the third and the final mention of the coming of Mashiach in the five books of Moses or Torah itself? Absolutely not. Because Ramban, a little bit later on in the Sefer HaGeulah, says, and I quote, V'yoter chazak mizeh b'sof HaTorah. He quotes the very verses that Maimonides introduces, and he says it gets much stronger. If you take a look at the end of the Torah, you look at the words from Hineni Sheichev Amamisecha. This is Deuteronomy 31, a chapter ahead of the verses we quoted yesterday. God says to Moses, behold, you are about to lie with your forefathers, and after you do so, the nation will rise up and stray after the deities of the nations who presently occupy the land in which they're coming. God tells Moses, they will forsake me and violate my covenant that I have made with them. And Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, it's not going to be pretty. V'chora api bo bayom. My rage, well, my fury will rage against them on that day, and I will abandon them. I'm not going to protect them. They'll fall prey to suffering. I will figuratively hide my face. And this is really the beginning of what we call Parashat Hazinu, the poem of witness. There is an interruption. This is the fifth reading in Parashas Vayelech. We do hear about the Jewish people coming into the land of Israel. The end of the Parsha talks about the investiture of Yehoshua, Joshua, as the next leader. And then in Parashas Hazinu, we return to Jewish history. And there, in Nachmanides, Ramban's words, V'shom ne'emra havtocha gdola v'chazoka. There, we find the strongest and most powerful language of all, the guarantees of what will happen in the future. V'anso hashira hazot lefonov. And this poem of witness will raise its voice until the words, Ki lo tishkach mipizaro, the Torah, will never be forgotten from all of the Jewish people. Many, many of our brothers and sisters have assimilated and abandoned the path of Torah. But in every time and almost in every place where Jewish people have lived, there have been those who remained devout, loyal, and committed. And the Torah has continued to remain with Am Yisrael. Those verses conclude with clear and stirring words about the future, alluding to the coming of Mashiach. And yet, the Rambam doesn't quote any of those verses. Furthermore, the Rebbe points out, long before the arrival of Moshe Rabbeinu, in the Torah of Moshe, there's a clear reference to the coming of Mashiach. Not from Bilam, an evil prophet, from our father Jacob, Yaakov Avinu, on his deathbed. Genesis chapter 49, verse 10. Yaakov Avinu, Father Jacob, is addressing his son Judah Yehuda, and he says, La yasur shevet mi Yehuda, that even when the Jewish people will no longer have an independent kingdom, the scepter of royalty or regency will not depart from Yehuda. According to Rashi, this prophecy was fulfilled during the Babylonian exile when there were these exilarches, as they're called, descendants of King David, who continued to serve as the acknowledged rulers or regents of the Jewish people. Nor will the scholars or lawgivers, known as mechokek, from the word chok, statute, sees, for they will continue to render rulings in Jewish law, and they will be from amongst the descendants of Yehuda, from the tribe of Judah. And this prophecy, Rashi tells us, was fulfilled with the presidents, the leaders, the Nasi of the Sanhedrin. And then the verse finishes, Ad, until such time, Ki Avo Shiloh, that Shiloh will come. Shiloh, Shiloh, that's one of the names for Mashiach. He will also be a descendant of the tribe, the Yehuda. There's no David HaMelech to speak of yet, but Yehuda is standing before Yaakov. And Velo Yikasamim, before him, nations will assemble to hear his teachings and inspiration. Or before him, nations will be subdued. Rashi is very clear. He says, Ad ki yavo Shiloh? Who is Shiloh? Melech HaMashiach, the anointed king. Shamelucha Shiloh. In other words, Rashi reads into the word Shiloh or Shiloh as Shehamelucha Shiloh. Dominion will be his. He says this is the way Unculus renders it also. There's a Medrash Haggadah, which Rashi feels compelled to quote, that Shiloh is a conjunction of two words, Shiloh, gifts to him, because the nations of the world will bring him gifts. As it is written in the book of Psalms, chapter 76, verse 12, Yavilu Shai Lamoira. They will bring a gift to the teacher, to the leader. It refers to Mashiach. Rambam doesn't mention a word about this verse. Why not? Rashi is not the only one. Nachmanides disagrees with some of the way Rashi interprets the verse, and yet he says, Ad ki yavo Shiloh, this refers to Zehu HaMashiach. This, he says, is definitely the Mashiach. Ki hashevet yirmoz leDavid, because this verse actually alludes to the concept of King David, who is, of course, in the tribe of Judah. And when we speak of the tribe of Judah, what we're really speaking about is the progeny, the lineage of David HaMelech. He is HaMelech HaRishon, Asher Lo Shevet Malchus. He is the first to hold the scepter of regency or royalty. And Shiloh, he will be the last. Hu Beno, he is his descendant. Asher Lo Yikas, before whom will be subdued or gather nations. So clearly, the Rebbe says, it's not tenable to suggest that the Rambam is simply quoting different verses that speak about the coming of Mashiach that are found in the Pentateuch, in the Torah itself, despite the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu is not the prophet of the future, but rather the prophet of mitzvahs. Our mandate, our mission, our obligation and responsibility to Hashem. Why then did the Rambam add another proof from the Chumash by invoking the concept of cities of refuge? And here, my friends, the Rebbe says something quite remarkable. When the Rambam talks about these verses of the city of refuge, there is what the Rebbe called a chiddush ikri, a principal and primary novelty being introduced to us, something which the previous proofs did not address or allude to at all. And that is, when the Rambam talks about the fact that Mashiach will come, and when Mashiach comes, we, the Jewish people, will be obligated to fulfill a mitzvah, what he's saying, in other words, is that this idea of the future redemption that we yearn for, that we believe in and await, is not only something which is miforash, explicit in the Torah. It's not only something which the Rambam in his commentary on the Mishnah enumerates as one of the ikrei, or yesoide ha'emuna, one of the primary foundational principles of our Jewish faith. Because with all of those verses, and the idea is that it is a primary foundational cornerstone of our faith, it's still not a mitzvah. And there isn't any specific action, any specific obligation or responsibility in mitzvah terminology attached to Mashiach. Nowhere in the Torah does it say it's a mitzvah to believe in the Mashiach. The Torah doesn't tell us that there is one of the mitzvahs believing in the future that there will be a redemption. Rather, because it's something that's explicitly spoken about in the Torah, and the Rambam's words, kol she'eino ma'amin bo, anybody who doesn't believe in the coming of Mashiach or doesn't await his arrival is a kofer, is somebody who denies the essence of the Torah. But where's the mitzvah? Where's the mitzvah mandate? And the answer is right here. With these words, the Rambam sheds a whole new light. He clarifies for us that the concept of redemption is not only a principle of faith, it's not only an article of our belief system, it's actually part and parcel of a mitzvah of the Torah. Now, you may, of course, ask, so what? What difference does it make if the concept of Mashiach's coming and the future redemption is connected to a mitzvah? Well, I'm glad you asked. We'll be continuing that, with Hashem's help, in our next episode, Mashiach's Mitzvah Mandate. I look forward to seeing you back and hope that you'll continue to join me, because learning about Mashiach, becoming educated about this very important topic, can necessarily help accelerate Mashiach's arrival. May it be b'mheira u'b'yameinu, speedily in our days. Amen. Thank you for joining. God bless.